righty, how's everybody doing tonight? Why don't we stand and we'll get started here in just a moment. Amen. There's still some coming in, and I know some have, some let me know they would not be able to be here tonight, but this is being recorded. Brother Philip, what is the code? If you go to the church website and you go to media and down to financial class, click on that, and ask for a password. I believe it's ILCFPC, FPU, ILC Financial Peace University, ILCFPU, and that'll get you into that. These are all being recorded. So thank you, everyone, for being here. Why don't you take a moment, shake somebody's hand, tell them you made a good decision to come tonight. All right, if you want to make your way back to your seats, don't be seated yet. We're going to stand, and we'll begin with prayer tonight. And we just want God to bless this class. I believe this is a spiritual thing, and we want God's smile to be on this. So let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. We're in your house. We're thankful we're with your people. And God, we ask that you would bless this class tonight. I believe this is something that's important to you, and it's important to us. God, give us the desire, the passion, and the wisdom to see this happen. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody said amen. All right, you can be seated. And again, I want to say we're so glad for everyone that is here. We are on class number 3. I did want to take a couple of minutes here. Brother Tom is passing out some of these class note papers. If anybody, I guess we're all done. We're all gone. Brother Bob, you get extra. You can make paper airplanes. Nah, you can have them. Throw them away. Wad them up. Whatever. Recycle them. Save a tree. I did want to mention something about the class schedule. And first of all, July 29th. First of all, let me see this. We had on here 10 classes, and really we only need 9. I did that deliberately because calendar is so difficult to nail stuff down in case that we needed an extra one, or in this case, we were going to move one of them. And so we did have the last class June 10th, and so we will be working anyway with that September 30th class. I'm trying to remember exactly what we've done, but I did want to let you know this. Also, we are having to adjust one more, and I will let you know the exact details of the last class. You won't have to know about that for a couple months, but July 29th, we will not have class. I apologize, and my schedule is not going to permit. That's July 29th. So our next class is July 8th, and so we will be having that, of course, Monday night. But July 29th, that class has been canceled. I apologize, but we do want to drop that in your mind now, and we will be announcing as that gets closer. So all righty. How's everybody doing? Are we surviving? I want to give you some hope, first of all. And we are moving into lesson number 3. And, first of all, what was lesson number 1? What's baby step 1? Can anybody remember? What's the first step? Save $1,000. Emergency fund, saving $1,000, okay? Also, the idea of budgeting. So, how are we doing on budgeting? We okay? You got a budget together? I do want to say this. I know many of you have. If you don't have a budget together, I really feel like you are stringing beads without a knot in the end. You are, as the Bible says, putting money in a sack with holes. It's just a Bible concept. And you may hate the word budget, but it is Really, you have one whether you like it or not. It may just be Visa's your budget. So if you're comfortable with that and paying 20% interest, that's the way some of you may live. But thankfully, I think a lot of you understand the idea of a budget. So that's the first step. I think you can glean stuff and ignore the important stuff, but I don't recommend it. I want to encourage you to start with a budget. So if you haven't, though, if you have not yet done that, I encourage you to do that. Number two, if you haven't, some of us are in different steps all across here, and we're moving faster than you very likely are accomplishing these. I want you to know that, okay? Tonight we're going to talk about the baby step number three, which is saving 3 to 6 months, an emergency fund, a 3 to 6 months budget. Well, maybe some of you have done that. God bless you. But I think probably the majority are. That's quite a mountain to climb. But that first one of saving $1,000, I want to encourage you. Let's go for that. And as you work through it. Then secondly, what was our second baby step? Had to do with debt. What do we do with debt? Pay it off. Snowball. What's the idea of the snowball? The debt snowball. Can anybody just give me a few words? Yeah, and so you start with what size debt? Start with your smallest, and then use that, whatever your payment was, you begin to apply that to your second smallest. You get momentum, and so that is exciting. Is there anybody, and this is no pressure, is there anybody that has anybody done any of those steps? I know some of you have. Brother Bob, you feel like telling about it, or you don't have to. This is very personal, but some of you might be Well, hallelujah. Paid off a $3,000 credit card. Yeah. You just gave yourself a raise, $80 a month. Yeah, I like that. That's excellent. I saw Sister Andrina. Outstanding. She has her emergency fund, paid off two of the smallest debts. I love it. Anybody else? Feels like saying it. Sister Mary. Excellent. Fantastic. And really, she said she got in an accident to do it. That there are that really the idea of windfalls happen. Bad stuff happens, but occasionally your uncle, rich uncle, does die. I don't have one of them, but I've heard of them. Really good stuff does happen, and the key is being ready for them and using them correctly. That's awesome. Outstanding. All right. Anybody cut up any credit cards? I do have Sister Natalie. How? I love it. All right. Sister Andrina? Awesome. I love it. Okay. Do I have a picture up there? I asked Sister Kim's permission. Brother Julian wasn't able to come. And but they had a serious plastectomy a while back. Look at that. I love it. What's that? That's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. And I do have scissors. If somebody gets motivated, I may cut some up. I am going to cut some up tonight. So let the pastor be first partaker. Hallelujah. So here's the idea with cutting up credit cards. What's the idea of trying to use cash? What's one of the main deals about it? What's cash versus credit card? Is there? What did I hear? You feel the pain. Yeah, when you use cash, there's a transaction. You gave something. I'm telling you, try it. It's a truth. Swiping the credit card. Even a debit card, it's just kind of a painless process until you get the bank statement. But, you know, you can ignore that, or maybe a bunch of us don't even open them, you know. I'm just going to set them in the deal and pay the minimum. So, outstanding. I'm glad to hear this. And I've heard others that may not have, you know, felt comfortable making that. But I would encourage you, if you're comfortable letting people know what you've done, it encourages people. It can be done. The idea, just starting off, of saving $1,000, for some of us, it's like, I mean, how in the world? But I'm telling you, it can be done. Maybe you got to sell stuff. And has anybody sold anything? Brother Bob, what'd you sell? Just stuff. I love it. Yeah. That's awesome. We're thinking about selling my dad's cat while he's gone. He gets back in 2 weeks. We honestly were thinking about the next spaghetti auction. Do you know how much fun Philip would have with that? It's awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. We're a morbid crew. All right, so you sell something. No, you want to buy the cat. Yes. Yes. I could tell you funny stories about her disposing of pets. This is not the time. Yeah. Well, I used to have, I have a funny dog story. Ask my mom about ashes when you see her. Somebody else sold some stuff. I saw a bunch of hands pop up. Just yell out, what'd you sell? Children, suitcases? Car. Good. Love it. Yard sale. Sister Kim? Paintball. Your paintball gun or Julie? I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Well, this kind of stuff is good. Our garages, our homes are packed full of stuff. It's the American thing to do, apparently, just to have stuff. And so excited about that. Well, let's go ahead and move into baby step 3. Having said this, listen, if you've done nothing yet, a minor shame on you, but you're still here. It's not too late. I would encourage, do the budget. It's not as hard as you think, and I'll help you. There's people that'll help you. Do the budget, and then start and work on that $1,000. Work on that $1,000. It keeps the dryer running, okay? We talked about that. And then number 2, once you've got that $1,000, begin the debt snowball. To recap, if you've not been there, take your smallest debt, actually write them all down in size from smallest to largest, and begin paying them off. And when you've paid off that first one, pay the minimum on all the others, regardless of the percentage rate. And when you pay that first one off, put everything on that first one, everything, sell the paintball gun, sell garage sale, sell whatever, pay that first one off. When you've paid the smallest one off, have a, you know, kind of a little victory lap, and then focus on number 2. Put everything towards number 2, and you'll see over time you're putting more and more money towards these. It really is like a snowball rolling downhill. As Brother Lee said, it gets larger and larger. And there comes a point, there really does, that's exciting. It's like, wow, this is happening. I can see something happening, light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, let's go to baby step 3. Everybody say baby step number 3. Okay, and baby step number 3 is this. It is to secure your future with a fully funded emergency fund. With a fully funded emergency fund. Now, some of us may have thought that first baby step of $1,000 would be the end of the emergency fund. That's an emergency. That's the first step of the emergency fund. But the goal is to have, and we'll talk about this towards the end of which what you should exactly have, a 3 to 6 months of your budget, 3 to 6 months of your budget in an emergency fund. Now, again, every time I've mentioned a baby step, probably there's been like kind of a little bit of a ugh moment, like what in the, you got to be kidding me. I just want to tell you, all of this is possible, not only possible, it's been done by people in this room and by millions of people in the United States. And it is the will of God for us as the people of God to take control of this. Now, the way you do it, the way you eat an elephant is one bite at a time. So let's talk a little bit. Let's get into this. So well, let's assume that you've already done step 1 and 2, which I just spent a long time saying we probably, many of you have not finished that. But let's assume that you have $1,000 in the bank and you are debt-free of everything except for the house. Once you get to that point, the temptation is to rest, to say, I cannot believe this. We're debt-free. And that is a great moment. But it's to rest and say, well, and we don't really necessarily need to move forward. Well, I want to tell you, it's so easy to slide back into the debt deal. Everything's pulling at you. Your mail is pulling you into the debt. You're getting credit card options. Life is pulling you there. The only option to keep you out of that is to save money. It's the only option. In fact, debt and savings are, as you know, are exact opposites, and they act opposite. Debt makes you pay interest. Brother Bob, you had 80 bucks a month, but now it's saving you 80 bucks a month. Debt, when you take on debt, you're taking on increased risk. Your life is more risky, but savings makes you less risky. Debt steals your future. Savings secures your future. Debt causes you to owe, and saving causes you to own. I'll tell you, there's nothing like having a savings in the feeling of security. Did you know that the number one fear, and I want all the men to listen up, the number one fear of women in when it comes to finances is lack of security. This is just a fact. And as husbands, one of our main goals, our main purposes is to protect our family. God made us to be defenders of the home in every area. Physically, somebody comes in the home, listen, dude, get up and take care of business. Get them out of the home. If something spiritual is attacking your home, I believe it's the husband's role to step up. And then when it comes to finances, a lot of marriages, a wife lives in fear, lack of security because of the financial stresses and strains. Now listen, the thing is we don't have to live in that fear. That fear is avoidable. There is an alternative to that. There is an alternative to that. Whether you're single or married, if you're single and going to be married, I'd like to drop this in your mind now, is there is an alternative to that. And if you're a young man, I would encourage you, begin to set yourself up when you get married that you can provide security for your wife. There's a beautiful verse that I want to read, and it's Proverbs chapter 21. In fact, somebody maybe on have your Bible or on your phone, if you could pull up Proverbs 21, verse number 20. Anyone that's able, Proverbs 21 and verse number 20. If you have it, just let me know. Brother Lee, you got it? Why don't you read that out loud? Okay. The wise man says there is a treasure to be desired. Okay. And oil in the dwelling of the wise. He's saying there's provision there. In the dwelling of a wise man, there is treasure, there is oil. And then he continues. But a foolish man spendeth it up. The Living Bible and a couple of the other translations put that last part like this. A fool spends whatever they get. This is the Bible. A fool spends whatever they get. Really, a lot of what we've got going on is not an income problem. A lot, now we may have an income problem too, but a lot of what we have is a spending problem. I've seen it happen. If somebody that has, there's no margin in their budget, there is zero margin for anything. They have no emergency fund. They have none of that. When they get a raise, God bless Sister Mary, when they get in an accident, that money, whatever came to her, is gone in a moment's time. As the raise comes, as the bonus comes, it instantly is moved into new debt. And the Bible says it's a fool that spends whatever they get. Did you know that nearly 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck? Think about that. That means one paycheck away from a big problem. I don't know how many's in this room tonight, maybe 60, 70. That means, say it's 60 people, if it's 80%, 48 of you are living paycheck to paycheck. Let's get real personal here. Think about your family. 8 out of 10 of your family members are one paycheck away from disaster, from living with you. 8 out of 10 people, if it applies to the church, are one paycheck away from disaster. And the question is, well, it's just Some might say, well, that's just the way I live. It's just the way it is. I can't help it. I do believe there is an alternative to that. And the alternative is savings. When the car breaks down, people go into debt. And they instantly have moved from a mechanical car problem. Now they have a money problem. It's compounded. Now they're worried about the car getting fixed. And they're worried about the credit card. They're worried about the debt. And it becomes a money problem because they have no savings to cover it. And I want to tell you, emergencies are going to happen. Emergencies are absolutely going to happen. And if you have an emergency fund, think about the beauty of having cash to pay for that emergency. I'm telling you, there's enough stress in the world without having stress that you can avoid. I've talked to people stressed out of their mind, and some of it they can't avoid. Some of it just comes with life. But there are some things you can do. And money problems, there are some. Listen, you can't change everything. You can't instantly, but there are some things you can avoid. And I would encourage us to consider the idea of learning to save. So baby step number three is a huge deal. Don't stop pretending that we're done with one and two, which is we have $1,000 in the bank, we're debt-free except for the house. Once you get to that point, don't stop. Do celebrate, celebrate, go to dinner if you can afford it. Don't go buy a new Corvette, but just celebrate. And understand that you don't stop at baby step number three. Now here's the thing. We got to understand there is room to save. If you had to save, you could. Let me give you an example. All right, if me and my wife went to the doctor and one of our kids had something really bad wrong and the doctor said, you know what, we've got this new medication that just came out, but it's very expensive. It's $5,000 for this medication, and you have $2 to pay it, two months to pay it in. I am telling you, if it was a matter of life and death for my kid, I'd do whatever it took. I would sell. If we got two vehicles, I guarantee I'd sell one. If I would sell stuff in the garage. I would do whatever. You'd have a pastor who was delivering pizza for a little while because I am going to take care of that. That $5,000 would get paid because if I want it bad enough, you can do it. And here's the deal: if you want to save, you really can do it. You want to know one of the number one reasons people don't save? It's the old saw of keeping up with the Joneses. You know what that means? Keeping up with the neighbors. And it used to be that keeping up with the Joneses was like, I don't know, you see your neighbor pull in into their driveway with a new car and you're like, I want a car like that. Or somebody at church has a new car and you think, well, I have to have a new car. Or so-and-so has a new purse and you got to have a purse like Sister So-and-so. And but now you keep up with the Joneses on our phones. There's constant viewing, and everybody puts their best foot forward on phones. Very rarely, wake up in the morning and take a picture before they brush their teeth and comb their hair. And, good morning, world. Just want to let you know what it's really like at the Booker household. And I read this a while back when I was studying something about social media. If you compare yourself with somebody that is doing better than you, obviously it makes you feel worse, right? Did you know that in social media, people that study this said that even if you compare yourself on social media with somebody who's doing worse than you, there is a phenomenon in social media that you still lose self-esteem. I don't even understand it. I just know what I read. So regardless if you're comparing up or comparing down, you still feel worse about yourself. And so the keeping up with the Joneses, it's like on steroids nowadays. Can I tell you, church, we need to be a people that understand. We just need to live and enjoy life and be satisfied with what we have. In fact, my wife and I, we a while back, we first got married. This is before we even had a house. We would sometimes go visit model homes. And I'm sure some of you have done that. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm going to tell you, that'll stir you up a little bit. It'll make you discontented. You may own your home, and you walk in there, and they've got somebody that's paid, you know, $150,000 a year to decorate a house, and you're looking at that. I'm going to tell you, it does something to you. Or if you're following somebody on social media that does that, it stirs up discontent. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I am here to tell you, if you want to beat the comparison game, the cure for comparison is a Bible term called contentment. Everybody say contentment. You know that this world needs a good dose of? It needs a good dose of contentment. In fact, sometimes we think, I've worked so hard, I do so much, I deserve this. You know, have you ever heard that or maybe said that? I worked so hard, I deserve this. And I'll just tell you, it's almost impossible to save money when you're not content. But there's a scripture in Philippians 4:11, Paul said this. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, this is not to excuse laziness. This is not to excuse sloth. This is not to excuse bad spending habits. But I want to encourage us, there is something about just being thankful for what God has blessed us with. In fact, you want to get to contentment. Gratitude is what leads you to contentment. One of the greatest things in the world a person can have is just I thank you, Jesus, for what you've blessed me with. And many of you heard my dad, I believe it was when he was teaching the lesson on the responsibility of blessing. He said that he had read a statistic that to be in the top 1% of the whole world, of the 7 point whatever billion, it was 0.2 billion, last I checked, to be in the top 1%, he said, and the numbers he used was $32,000 a year you had to make. And what's poverty in America? I don't remember what the poverty line is. It was 15,000, but I think it's a lot higher than that now. Bottom line is basically almost our poverty level is at the top 1% of the world. What does that tell us? It tells us that a lot of us are judging what we have by our next door neighbors and by people. We're looking around when really we really should be going down to India or somewhere to compare ourselves. In fact, and I'm not being disparaging, please, I'm not, but my dad took me and my brothers as little boys. You guys remember this? He did it a couple times, took us down south of the border. And it may not have been a fair comparison because he found the worst parts of Tijuana. And he said, and where people were living, now you can do it in L.A., you know, where people are living in tents and cardboard boxes. And he said, boys, I just want you to know how blessed we are to live in the United States of America. And we are a blessed people. That kind of spirit that says, God, thank you for my health. Thank you for my family. Thank you that I got clothes and shoes and I have a vehicle. Or if I don't have a vehicle, I can take a bus. That's a blessing. I don't want to take a bus, but if I had to, I could. I could get a bicycle. There's a million different ways I could get around. I have a home. I have a place to live. You that rent or whatever the case is, whatever your situation is, we are some of the most blessed people in the world. And I'm going to tell you, that spirit of thankfulness leads to contentment, which is one of the greatest things you have to prevent you spending money like crazy. Amen. In fact, I tell you, are you thankful tonight? I think we ought to lift our hands and thank God for the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift our voice to Him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, I'll tell you, baby step number 3 is not just a 3 to 6 month reserve, but it's also about being content with what you have. It really is. And to get to where you need to go, there needs to be a contentment. Now, I'm not going to be too long tonight. This lesson actually is a little bit more simple than some of the ones we've had. But I do want to give you a couple of points to think about. So imagine this. Imagine that you've got $1,000 in the bank. You've done baby step one. You have, you know, you're doing your budgeting. And then you get to baby step two and you pay everything off. What a beautiful feeling that would be. Brother Bob, I keep picking on him because he made reference to the fact he paid off those credit cards and instantly was saving $80 a month. If you were to add up, if you were to pay off all your debt, what you'd be saving, it would blow your mind. I'll never forget the first time, I think as a teenager, I read something about, you know, financing a house. And they gave me the numbers of what you pay in principal and what you pay in interest. I was dumbfounded that you pay probably two or three times in interest what you pay in principal. If a house is $300,000 house, you're paying $900,000 or something like that over time, depending on how long you amortize the property. And so baby step number two gives you a raise instantly. And so you got people that are living paycheck to paycheck. But the thing is so many of them that are doing this, you don't know it because nobody goes around telling you that. They dress. They may dress. In fact, the people that are most in debt probably dress sometimes the nicest. They drive the best cars, and they're broke. They don't own their house. It's crazy. I read a book, The Millionaire Next Door. Have any of you read that book or listened to it on Audible? I would recommend it. Philip has, Brother Dave has. I would recommend you listening to that. It's an interesting story. But he begins the book by talking about how they were going to study millionaires to find out, you know, how did you become a millionaire? What is a millionaire? What kind of, where do they live? What do they spend? And so they went, you know, as you would imagine, to some very wealthy neighborhoods, Beverly Hills, you know, places like that. You know what they found? A lot of those people that live there are not wealthy people. Now, they have high income. They may be making $300,000 a year, but their net outflow is that or more. And they begin to find that people, and basically what they defined wealth as is somebody that had a little bit of money, you know, and they defined it based on that you could live a certain amount of time on the finances that you have over and above all your debt. They couldn't believe it. So you have these people, these lawyers, these doctors that are expected to live and dress a certain way that are broke. They drive Jaguars, but they're all financed. They live in homes and they owe millions of dollars. And maybe you got this guy that's a plumber, has got 20 people working for him, but he doesn't have to belong to a country club. He doesn't have to wear Prada clothes. He doesn't have to wear, you know, he doesn't have to drive the best Mercedes out there. He just drives a nice truck, you know, he lives good, got a nice home, and the dude's worth millions of dollars. That's what they begin to find. And so we live in a world where people are disguising how broke they are. I'm telling you, we drive by people all the time. You're like, wow, man, look, I wonder who that is. You know who that is? Probably a broke dude. No money. So we got to move from baby step two to baby step three. And the way you do that is you got to save some money. Because if you don't, those credit cards are going to come in the mail. And you're going to get them again. You're going to be sitting in front of a bank. Because emergencies will happen. You'll borrow, or worse yet, and I'm going to mess with some of us here, we'll borrow from our 401k, which is stealing from yourself. Worse yet, it's stealing from your future. And there's fees involved and all this. Now, there may be a time for everything, but I'm just telling you, if you've got the money in the bank when the AC goes out or whatever the situation is, thank you, Jesus, that's a better thing. Because there is something called Murphy's Law. How many have ever heard of Murphy's Law? Okay. How's it go? If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. All right? I have a question. How many of you have had to repair your car in the last 12 months? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hand. How many of you have had to do it a couple times? Okay, you can put your hand down. All you that didn't raise your hand, you're on the clock. That means your car's about to break down. It's going to happen. Okay? And so I did the Dave Ramsey deal. He did it, so I'm going to do it. I did it. They call this fund the Rainy Day Fund. All right? I don't use props much, but we're using an umbrella tonight. And so here's the deal. You are preparing. This is a monster umbrella. With this emergency fund, this 3 to 6 months, you are preparing for a rainy day. Now, I'm telling you, it's going to rain on you financially. Bad days are ahead of you. I promise you. It's going to happen. And some of you are saying, be positive. I'm telling you, I'm positive it's going to rain. And you know it too, don't you? Don't you know it? You know it. And so that's what we're talking about. And that's why this emergency fund removes the worries. It removes the stress. In fact, you can be ready. You can be ready for those rainy times that come. I'll tell you a funny story. We were, when my dad pastored in Arroyo Grande, I wonder if any Arroyo Grande people here, Philip remember this. We had a preacher come through, and he preached a message, and it was entitled, "I Can Sleep on a Stormy Night." Okay? It's really good, based on this story. Well, then, a few weeks later, we had another preacher come through, and he gets up, and he says, "Tonight, I'm going to give you my title. I'm going to preach, I Can Sleep on a Stormy Night." And we thought, wow, that's really neat. God's really talking to us. Then a few weeks later, another preacher came through, and he said, "I got a message for you." And he gets up now. He said, "I can preach on a stormy night." And all of them are based on this story I'm about to tell you. And I don't know. Preachers apparently talk to preachers. And then I guess God wanted us to hear it. So, but that was all based on this story. Here's the story that they would all tell, all three of them. I remember it because I heard it three times. There was a guy that owned a ranch, and he was looking to hire somebody. And this cowboy rides in one afternoon, and he says, "I'm looking for a job." And the rancher says, "Well, okay. What kind of qualifications you got?" And the dude looks at him and says, "Well, I can sleep on a stormy night." And he says, "What's that supposed to mean?" He said, I can sleep on a stormy night." Well, he didn't have any other prospects, so in spite of that weird comment, he hired the guy. And so this cowboy began to work for him. He did pretty good work. Well, a few weeks later, it was a thunderstorm, as you know, like back in Oklahoma, some of those areas, as only they can have, rolls through this ranch. Lightning and thunder and rain. The rancher wakes up in the middle of the night, and he's like, "Oh, help us, Lord. We got to get out there. This is going to scatter the cattle. They're going to stampede. They're going to run through fences. We got a bad problem." So he gets up and runs out to the bunkhouse, and he's beating on the door. "Dude, wake up." I don't think you call cowboys dudes. "Get up." You know, whatever you call a cowboy, get up. And the guy comes to the door. He says, "What's the problem?" He says, "It's stormy. It's raining. We got to take care of these cows." And the cowboy said, "Don't you remember what I told you when you hired me?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I can sleep on a stormy night." He said, "I have already got the cows corralled. I've got them all put up. I've got all of the food and provisions covered. Everything's taken care of. I was ready for this storm before it ever came." So that was the message we heard three times in a row, Grandy. But there is a truth to that. Can I tell you, you can sleep if you've made provisions for rainy days. It's a terrible thing to be stressed out. You know, you go out to your car, and it's like click, 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 click. And you start praying. You ever pray over your car? Pray it into the, God help us. Now, I believe in praying over vehicles. I have prayed my car in the gas stations when I should have filled it up. We've seen it happen. I've seen miracles. But I think there's even a not better than prayer, but there is a better way to live. And that is to do it God's way and to have some money set aside for those click, 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 click mornings. You know, it really is it's a powerful, powerful idea. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this. This baby step number three is having 3 to 6 months of emergency fund. Now, a good question to ask is, do I have three or do I have six? I'd much rather have, three if I don't have to do the six. How do I know? I've heard that all my life. Well, you need to have 3 to 6 months of emergency fund. Do I need 3, 4, 5, 6? The answer is this. The more unstable your income is, the more you'll need. You follow that? So maybe if you're, here's one, if you're the sole income in your house, nothing wrong with that, but there is more risk, right? One person loses a job. If you have two people working, there's a, okay? Or if you're commission-based in sales, okay? Or self-employed. None of these are wrong. It just means that you might want to err towards the end of having 6 months instead of 3 months. And where do you put the money at? You need to put the money in a money market account. A money market account. A savings account gives you almost zero return. I've seen some of the most ridiculous savings account interest rates. It's ridiculous. So put it in a money market account. Most banks will have can help you with that. And if so, if your income's a little more stable, maybe you have two incomes or whatever the case may be, then maybe you can get away with the 3 months. Now, this is important. When we talk about 3 to 6 months of a monthly of a emergency fund, we're talking about having 3 to 6 months times whatever your budget is, not what your income is. That's irrelevant. Do you understand? In other words, if say your bills are, pick a number, whatever, $1,500, $2,000, whatever the magic number is, whatever that number is, you multiply that out, okay? Whatever your budget is, you multiply it out times 3 months or 6 months. It's not based on your income. And then you place it in a money market account. Now, this is very important. This emergency fund is an insurance. It's not an investment, okay? You need to think of this differently. Everybody say, it's not an investment. Say that with me. Okay,
this is not an investment. This is insurance. You are self-insuring. What a concept.
You are self-insuring. It's not money that you've invested. And so you are putting it in a money market account, and you have it in case of an emergency. Now, that brings up another question. We're getting very close to being done where we can do some activities here. What is an emergency? Okay, I will tell you this. A new couch is not an emergency. A vacation, it's not an emergency. And so don't use it for fun stuff. Here's what you should do. I really recommend this. If you're married, talk to your spouse ahead of time. And just kind of define emergency. I talked to somebody tonight that's AC went out. I would say that's an emergency. Okay? Your car breaks down. An illness in the family. You lose your job. You have a gap between jobs. Maybe if you're sales-based, you have a slowdown. That's an emergency. Okay? And so you have this conversation. If you're not married and don't have a spouse, this is where it'd be good to have like somebody with sense, an accountability partner you could talk to. And just kind of discuss what is an emergency. I see a lot of singles here, and I'm proud of you for being here. You might find somebody that you trust and help bounce that off them. But the bottom line is, it's not for fun stuff, okay? And one other thing before we start to wrap this up is, if you use the emergency fund, what do you do if you use it? You got to replace it. You got to build it back up. You got to build it back up. And you need to have the same intensity as when you're replacing debt. This idea right here, you got to understand this finance that you have, it's sitting there for when that car acts up. When you get in the morning and click, 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 click. What a terrible feeling that is. There's nothing worse. I have an AC on my roof. It's probably, I don't even know how old it is. It's ancient. And every now and then, I'll click, turn it on. There's like a delay before it comes on, Brother DaCosta. And I'm just like, oh, help us, Lord. Okay? The difference between having money to fix that and not having money to fix it is a huge difference. If you've got the money, there's nothing like going, well, I hate it. I don't want to spend it, but I got it. And you can sleep, forgive me, on a stormy night. Hallelujah. That's what I heard one time, actually three times. So if that money's sitting there, it's there and you can use it. Now, the first three lessons, I'm already wrapping up here. The first three lessons. Number one, what was number one? Save $1,000. If you haven't done that yet, let that be your focus. And really, focus on it. Sell some stuff. Get money together. It's so comforting knowing you have $1,000. Number two, what is that? Debt snowball. Paying off everything except the house. Paying off everything except the house. We'll get to that later on. And then number three is this right here, a fully funded 3 to 6 month emergency fund. Now, the reason I brought all that up is to say this. Next lesson, we are going to cover baby steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, all in one lesson. And these first three steps that we've talked about, of $1,000 emergency fund, paying off debt, and then a fully funded, that's hard work. There's been a lot of sacrifice that gets you to this point. But can I tell somebody, listen up, when you get to the next steps, that's when it gets exciting. All of the work begins to be worth it because you're building for future. Literally, it's wealth building. It's preparing for your children's future. It's in retirement. It's things like this, preparing yourself where you can give and live and have all that. And so it becomes worth it. And so I would encourage you, wherever you're at, if you need the $1,000, let's start with that. If you've already done that, let's start on the debt snowball. And once you get one or two paid off, don't stop. Keep the intensity. Get that paid off. But once you've got those paid off, don't stop. Get 3 to 6 months because you're going to need it somewhere in your life. And it just kind of keeps Murphy at bay. I don't know about you, but I don't want Murphy in my life. All right, why don't we stand quickly? It is 7:53. And we're going to take a couple minutes to do some stuff here. Does everybody have something to write with? Everybody got a pen, got a paper? Okay. I'd like us to do this. I had you stand just so you could stretch. You can sit back down. We're going to do a one-minute takeaway. And this is what I'd like us to do in this one-minute takeaway is for you to take 60 seconds and write one thing, like maybe the central thought of tonight's lesson. The central thing, the central takeaway of what you got from tonight that you want to do in the future. All right? And we will start. Well, let me get to my thing. Right. Well, stopwatch. Ready, set, go. 60 seconds. Take 60 seconds and give them a takeaway from tonight. Darnell is handing you. I already gave some of you one. Brother Darnell is giving you a handout. And all right, time is in fact, 20 seconds over on the one-minute deal. Brother Darnell is giving you a handout. If you have the book, if you'll just turn to page 50, there's an activity that we want to do. All right. If you don't have a book, if you could raise your hand, especially so Brother Darnell can get those to you. He's going to come here. Keep your hand up if you need one. And we're going to page 50 in your book if you have a book. Brother Bob needs one. Anybody else need one? Okay. Brother Lee, anybody else want another? Okay, here in the back. Back one there's a couple more. All right. Well, we're going to do this activity real quick. And on page number 50 where it says lesson 3, activity, stay gazelle intense. Is there somebody to be willing to read that paragraph where it starts with, let's look at two couples? Would somebody be willing to read that? If you would, just raise your hand. Brother Kenny, can you read that and just read it out loud? Get anointed. Okay, so check this out. First of all, here's their numbers. They both have already saved $1,000, correct? They both have $2,000 current monthly expenses. Okay? They both have $2,000 currently monthly expenses. Both couples are single income households. Okay? If they're single income, based on what we said, just using the general rule of thumb, do you think they'd need 3 months or 6 months? 6 months. I think, yeah. So if their current monthly expenses are $2,000 and they need 6 months, how much do they need for the fully funded emergency fund? How much? Just yell it out. It's that simple. Yeah, I'm not going tricky here. $12,000, right? So $2,000 per month for 6 months. They both need $12,000. Now, here's the deal. You got Will and Claire, Joe and Kate. They both already have $1,000 in the bank, so they still need $11,000 each. Now the question is, how long is it going to take them to reach their $12,000 goal? Will and Claire, let's read. Will and Claire have a goal. Is somebody willing to read what the Will and Claire underneath there, the picture of Will and Claire, where it says Will and Claire continue celebrating? Somebody read that for me, Sister Andrina. So here's the deal. They're rejoicing. Yay, we're debt free. So we're only going to do $300 a month. All right. All that money they've been given to Visa, we're going to go to, where are we going to go? Victoria Gardens every Friday night and have a blast. And so $300 per month into their emergency fund. But Joe and Kate, in their effort to get to $11,000 more, what do they do? Somebody read Joe and Kate's deal. Somebody? Anybody? That's powerful. So you got two scenarios. Take a minute, pull out your calculator on your phone, and figure out how long is it going to take, first of all, Will and Claire at $300 a month. They need $11,000 more, okay? Not $12,000 total. They need $11,000 more, okay? So $300 a month. And then Joe and Kate are doing $1,000 a month. And they need $11,000 more. So how many months will it take Will and Claire? And how many months will it take Joe and Kate? And let's just take about 60 seconds to figure it up. Some of you may have already done it, but just give us slow people time to find our calculators on our phones. All right. All right, I think that's enough time. If not, you should have paid attention in seventh grade. Math. And honestly, I didn't mean to be a smart aleck, but whatever. I was. Forgive me. So Will and Claire, anybody want to throw out a number? How many months will it take Will and Claire? He should have paid attention, seventh grade. How long? Yeah, like 36.6. So let's call it 37 months. 37 months. All right. How many for Joe and Kate? Boom, 11. All right. Obviously, you're dealing with a ratio of 3 to 1. I mean, and the moral of the story is this. Don't let off the gas. Assuming you're there, just pretend you were in that sweet spot. You're debt free. It'd be so easy to back off. But I'm going to tell you don't want to do that because Visa is going to be sending them in the mail and Murphy's going to be lurking at your back door. Get it done. Fund that thing. It really makes a difference. Okay, so the moral of that little activity is don't lose your focus just because you make victory. All right, sound good? Let me see here. There was a couple more things I wanted to do, and I think, let me see, maybe that was it. Okay, I think that was it. Anybody want to cut up credit cards? I do. Sweetheart, you got that credit card? This is so liberating. I love it. Half of them are loving it. All right. Anybody else or any questions? Brother Lee. He said, are you following up this financial class with marriage counseling? I guarantee you. I promise you this. When you get into the nitty-gritty, there really is stress. Don't let that bother you. But if you don't get into it, there's stress. So anyway, but that's I love it. Brother Ronnie. Okay, so yes, you always want to keep them in order. So in other words, the debt snowball would be number 2. So if you had to, like, say a dryer went out and you had to take from the 1,000, I would stop the debt to snowball and just pay minimums on all of those and build back up to 1,000. And so get that back in place. Good question. This reminds me, I did want to address a question that was asked, and I did a little research on debit cards. You can rent cars with debit cards, and most all of the major companies will do it. There are some difficulties in that you have to have higher reserve in your bank. Okay, but that's what we're aiming for anyway, right? In other words, you have to be able to pay, like, some of the if you got in a wreck or something. And so it depends on the rental car company how much has to be in the bank. But the point is you can, and airlines, et cetera. So, all right. Any questions? I thought I saw a couple other hands. Brother Philip. Well, okay, obviously you start with your budget, Okay? Now, your budget is zero-based, so if you've got more coming into your budget, then hopefully you're putting it to, you know, debt and so on. It is basically your living expenses. It's your living, and the four walls that Dave Ramsey calls, I can't remember what they were again. They were transportation, food, housing, shelter, and there was one more. But anyway, the point is, am I making? Yes, I agree. That's where I think you should look with your spouse and go through those, because you're exactly right. Some of them, I mean, we even had like a miscellaneous. You're out of a job. Yeah. Right. Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Does everybody understand that? In other words, there may be some categories. When you're going through this, you really do want to look at it. First question is, do I need 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, or 6 months? And you need to figure that out. And then what is that actual amount? And you'll go through each category and see if they're entirely necessary in that emergency situation. Good point. That's a very good point. All right. Anything else in regards to that? Or anything else? All right. Well, why don't we stand? Scissors are here. I'll have them each class. If not, we'll go get some. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We're going to pray before we're dismissed. I know this is a sacrifice. And this is the class they warn you that a lot of people are going to, are the one before, basically people won't show up for this class. You did good. You made it. The debt snowball didn't blow you out of the water. God bless you. You got to give yourself a hand for that. You're actually here. Yeah, it's one of the things they tell the facilitator, don't be depressed if nobody's here or something like that. So, all right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you. You are good to us. We thank you that you're in control of our lives and that you have given us a free will to make wise decisions, and that you've given us a book, your word, that gives us principles to live by. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Greet somebody as you're dismissed. And have a beautiful night. If your kids are being babysat, don't forget them. And eat some of the food on the way out.